What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California, for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and with me, as always, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel. How are you, brother?
I'm not usually up this early, so, to be honest. Ooh. My voice is even deeper.
Yeah.
A fantasy, the last 5 days have been like
what
wrestling
a week.
Heaven for goobers like us. Yeah. I'm in a good mood. It was great.
A hell of a week. Hell of a week that turned this podcast from undesirable to undeniable, unlike Cody Rhodes at the main event of WrestleMania. But as you can see standing in front of me, I mean, look at this thing. We have a official WWE Comedy Store Championship title. We have t-shirts for WrestleMania that say Comedy Store in the front, Hollywood, and in the back it says Comedy Store Wrestling. I mean, it's been incredible, kind of a dream come true type of a week. But we have a lot to talk about, so I'm going to try and run through it as fast as we can so we can all go home and sleep. starting off Wednesday of WrestleMania week, we had Not Sammamania here in the main room. An incredible night of just legends in the building. I have a list of the names that were here. X-Pac, Medusa, Dolph Ziggler, Baron Corbin, Will Sasso, Kathy Kelly, Mike Rome, and we also had Santos Escobar and Joaquin Wilde of Legado del Fantasma, which is now known as officially as the LWO, thanks to Rey Mysterio. He reinstated the LWO, which is pretty cool.
I mean, it was an awesome way to kick off the weekend, or the week. Everyone was in a good mood. Everyone's behaving. Everyone's nice. I hadn't seen X-Pac in a long time, and it was neat. And Will Sasso's like the nicest guy in Hollywood. Like,
yeah, man.
I wish everyone were like him.
Killing it with those impressions. It was funny. There was a Q&A segment near the end, and people, instead of asking questions, they just kept asking Will to do impressions.
Well, that's what got him in trouble on Piper's podcast with Stone Cold. So,
didn't he do a bit where he dressed up as Stone Cold for WWE at some point?
Yeah.
But, it was a great night. Earl and I got to go on the stage, and Earl's been on the main stage a bunch of times, but
it's no big deal.
To me, that was a bucket list item to be able to be on the main room stage with a live mic is something that, I never thought would ever happen. So, thanks for that. That was amazing. We got to present Sam Roberts with his own championship that was, brought to you by Trophy Smack. So thank you, Trophy Smack, for bringing and making that custom belt for Sam that we were able to present to him. Whistle Pig provided a whole bunch of bourbon for everybody in the back. Everybody got to leave with a little gift bag with some bourbon in it. And it really made, Baron Corbin specifically, he was very happy because he's a big bourbon guy. So he was stoked to see all of that. It was really awesome.
One of my favorite things about the Comedy Store is that we, people don't know what, at any time you have three shows going. Mm. So you had big names walking in and out of the room. So you had you had Marc Maron going in. He's like, oh, it's a wrestling show. He has a history with wrestling. He walked out. Then when Will Sasso was up, Bobby Lee, I don't know if I told you guys, Bobby Lee almost charged the stage. Because they're Mad TV cast members, so he was going to run up there and fuck around, and it would have been funny. So he goes in through the main entrance in the hallway. He's about to run up. He gets past the first two tables, and then he turns around. He's like, I'm not going to fuck this up for them.
Oh, that's nice, really Bobby. Funny. Thank you.
Bobby's great.
That's the new Bobby. The old Bobby would have whipped his dick out.
Oh, yeah, would have got on stage butt naked. Oh, man. But, yeah, hell of a night. Really great story. Santos Escobar told the story of how, he almost gave up, and now he's in WWE helping out Rey Mysterio. So it was really cool. If you guys didn't make it out, now you heard the list of names. Next time we book an event, get your asses out here.
I got to be honest, though. My favorite part of that night, among many, was when Medusa handed me the actual belt.
Oh,
dropped in the trash can, which is like, for wrestling fans, that belt is like the Shroud of Turin. Like, and she was so nice. Like,
yeah.
And her book's really good. I've started reading it. I'm a slow reader, but like, she keeps it real.
So. Wow. She was also really cool. She asked us if she could do a book signing before the event, like in the main room, which, if you put anybody in front of the Comedy Store customer, they will get hounded. But she was just like, nah, I love meeting the fans. I love doing things like this. For $20, you get a book. And she just stood there as people were getting seated. They passed her in line and they stopped. And Earl was the first one in line.
Yeah, she offered me.
I'll always respect, like, Earl supports a lot of the legends.
Yeah.
She said, I'll give you a book. She's like shoving me the book. I'm like, I want to pay for it.
Nah,
I want to pay for it. And then
Earl's a real one.
She'll sign it. She signed it both names, you know, her WWE name. And,
yeah.
And then... when I saw the guy ringing up for $60, I'm like, "Hey, is that original offer still stand?"
Like, oh, it was 60.
Well,
it's
she,
the book plus the autograph, right?
No, I'm just kidding. I love you, Medusa. Such a crush on her, but she signed it. I think she had a tiered autograph structure where she'd sign one name or the other. She signed both.
Got it.
And
that's
funny. It's a really good book. Like she has like a man mentality. I'm gonna. Speak my mind.
Because she was one of the first. She was one of the first to be put in that situation where she wasn't just like when she moved to WCW, she was the woman of WCW. Like she became that person, the first one to jump ship. She jumped ship with the title, so it was just cool that she was like really open to just wanting to obviously to sell her book, but just get in front of the fans, let them greet her on the way in, whether they bought a book or not.
Yeah, she was just as nice to the people who didn't buy a book, and just she'd shake their hand and like.
Well,
take a
all
picture
of them. Like, that's the other thing, and it was funny that they WWE sent security, with Baron, because after the show they all got off stage and just allowed the crowd to bombard them, and they were taking pictures, they were signing things, and like that's what you want to see. Like you know that they have a busy schedule, especially this week. And we'll talk about the WWE tryouts briefly in a little bit. But, it was just great seeing them get off the stage. They were just on a two-hour show because we ran long since there wasn't a second show. And they got off stage and they just hung out with the fans. And you could tell the fans, this was the best part of their weekend, because even if they go to WrestleMania, they're not having this one-on-one time with the guys that they are watching on TV every week. So it was just a great experience.
Yeah, and the only reason Baron left is because security was dragging him out, but he would have been there all night, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think he needs security.
I don't think so either.
He could have beat up his security guard.
Yeah, very easily.
And that guy was super cool, too. Yeah, so he was nice. Nothing against him, but I was just like, I like that WWE's protecting their guys, and they just have to...
I won't get into that, but yeah.
I sat him in Mitzi's booth, the security guy, and like here's this like pretty big dude. I'm sure he's like a Mossad agent on the side, and he was like a little kid. Like he got the history of that booth.
Yeah,
and like I'm like, there's the phone that she used to call, and so
we'll talk about the Bray Wyatt visit also, because that was fucking wild.
That was Wednesday night, Thursday morning.
It's just Wednesday night.
That was just Wednesday night. Thursday morning, bright and early, we were in here with the WWE and NXT. They asked us if they could use the main room stage to hold tryouts, promo tryouts, for their upcoming crop of NXT talent. And it was incredible. The second I walked in, I run into MVP and William Regal. And I see John and his dad was there, and Regal's just telling stories, told an incredible story about Hornswoggle and... and we just got to sit there, and then we see the lineup of WWE talent walking in. It was Omos, we had Liv Morgan, we had Raquel Rodriguez, we had LA Knight, we had Dolph Ziggler. I mean, Dolph was here all week.
I think Dolph's a paid regular.
Dolph's a paid regular now. But yeah, it was just a really, really incredible experience to be able to sit there in the room with the entire crew and staff of WWE, and Matt Bloom, you know, who used to be known as Prince Albert, was like the head, you know, he's the head coach of NXT. So he was there and just watching the new people try and cut promos. And you know, it's not easy, especially when you're in that high pressure situation. You're at a legendary club like the Comedy Store on the main stage. You have all your peers around you watching, and you have the lights on and the cameras are on. So there was a lot of, you know, you could tell, like you see... We're so used to seeing the product on TV already refined. It was kind of interesting to see people kind of struggling with their promos, like monotonous sometimes. And you could, you know, Dolph and them and the panel would bring it up like, hey, you know, you got to show me something. To me, the big standout for me was Emma Diaz on the women's side. She was Cuban. I'm not being biased. I'm just saying that she came out with a promo talking about her life, her history, her family, the struggle to get out of the island and escape communism. Whereas all the other women were like, you girls suck and I'm awesome. Look how hot I am. Like, that was the promos that they brought to the table. And she brought something real, which I thought was really cool.
I mean, my it was fascinating to me. So they gave us, they had done their latest cuts Tuesday night. So when they when we got them, there were 70 people in the flip book of talent that they were auditioning. Mm-hmm. But I would say they had actually about 40 or 50 left out of those 70. And a lot of them were just athletes pulled out of college. We had hurdlers. They were looking for just athletic people that they could teach how to talk onto a mic. And there were a few that I think have a lot of potential, especially there was a girl, there were a few women that were like 6'2", 6'3", that can come in and really dominate if they get their mic skills where they need to be. They had some women that were shorter, but they had that fire that you're like, okay, this is a, this is somebody who could easily start as a manager and then make their way into the division, start in a group the way Liv Morgan did. I love that woman. We were talking for a little bit. She's small, but she is such a badass that like you can groom a lot of these superstars. All we got to see was their mic work.
Yeah, and yeah.
I would say a majority was average at best, which I would have expected from people who had never done this before.
And all very young, too. They were all 20, 22, 23, maybe the tops.
So you knew they didn't have experience with a lot of public speaking, so I didn't hold it against them. But there were certain ones where you're like, oh, you give this person an improv class, they go from Roman Reigns of 5 years ago to Roman Reigns of today,
yeah,
and you're set.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing, when I was in my mind kind of judging harshly as I saw these promos, I was like, you know what? As I've looked back, you look at Bray Wyatt, somebody who, you know, we all love, a few years back when he was in NXT, he was Husky Harris, and it was awful. So, you know, you never know what it can turn into as long as you give them a chance. That was Thursday morning.
I was asleep, by the way.
We're only 12 hours into this.
After the tryouts, we did.
Well, just a shout out. I just want to say thank you to WWE. They were great.
Oh yeah.
They came in. They wanted to, for personal reasons. They were filming it. They like to look back, and obviously, down the line, if one of them makes it to the main event of Mania, they now have the footage of the audition at the Comedy Store. So, just thank you to WWE who came in, did minimal setup, came in, did what they had to do, and got out. A lot of people that we partner with, they come in, they need a whole day. They don't tell you, hey, we're gonna need 4 hours, and actually bang it out in 4 hours. So yeah. WWE was just great with us.
They got out of here quick.
Yeah,
quick.
Because we came down and did. So after that,
yeah,
we had Dolph on. We're gonna release that episode in a few days, just as a bonus episode. But we had Dolph come down and speak to Eddie and I for a little bit. By the time we got upstairs, I think that we only spoke to him for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was a short one.
By the time we got upstairs, gone.
Yeah, every single person was gone.
They're such a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah. So that was Thursday morning for me. Thursday, then that from that day after I spoke to Dolph, I ran over to the Ukrainian Cultural Center to watch Bloodsport 9 and also to launch my official RRBG Brew Series beer, Black Blood of the Earth, with Josh Barnett. It was an incredible, incredible night of wrestling, or evening of wrestling, if you will. Josh Barnett put over Timothy Thatcher, which I thought was very shocking. He has gone over in all of the blood sports in the main event, but I asked him afterwards, I'm like, hey man, you know, what was that? Like, why would you do that? And he was like, well, if I keep putting myself over, then it just becomes pointless. And, you know, you have to make sure you put the right person over. And, it was really awesome, really great matches. I have notes here for, Royce Isaac. Johnny Bloodsport kicked ass. That was awesome against Royce Isaac. Ibushi's first match back after I think like a year or two layoff from New Japan, and his first match back into wrestling in any organization. So the fans were really, really, it was very loud in there. We sold a ton of that beer. There's still more available, so we're trying to figure out now we're going to do events elsewhere to get rid of the rest of it. But afterwards, went and had a Grill-A-Mall burger that Josh and I had created, a burger, a War Master burger there. So we had dinner there with Marina Shafir, a couple of the other people, Victor Henry from the UFC. And then after that, I drove back to the Comedy Store for Hunkamania, which was another incredible out-of-control night, mostly filled with AEW talent. Earl Skakel was on stage.
I was getting heckled by Sean Spears. I mean, it was really so many fun memories, but to see Sean Spears going like this to me, it's
amazing. Well, because you did it to him the second he walked in, you started going like this.
Well, I wasn't expecting, you know, he came in with the Gunn Brothers, and then someone said, hey, I think Chuck Liddell's here. I'm like, that's not Chuck Liddell, you idiot.
The Mohawk. Yeah, yeah.
One of the newer door guys.
Oh, my God.
And then, when you're not expecting to see one of your favorite wrestlers, how many times have I brought up Sean Spears?
Oh, like, absolutely. Yeah.
I love him.
I know.
And he's so nice, and I just started going like this to him.
Yeah, man. I know, because the second I walked, I went to go grab the guns, and the second I walked in and I saw you, I just moved over and I pointed, and you're like,
I probably thought I was trying to grab his tits or something.
Eddie really got a workout that day.
Dude.
Aside from just sweating from excitement, he was running all over, escorting the wrestlers through the crowd. And the best part is, like, we know who these guys are. The people at the Comedy Store couldn't give a fuck.
Oh, you mean like the
door guys?
The door guys.
Yeah. Nobody knew who they were.
Yeah, they were like getting like, hey, there's a guy standing out here. I'm like, yes, that's Jesus Christ. That's Orange Cassidy. Let's go. Like,
yeah, and he's just standing there in a Canadian tux.
Yeah, like so, Ryan's like, hey, man, can you go get Cassidy outside? But keep it a secret because, you know, he's a surprise for the event. And I go outside and Cassidy's in full fucking gimmick.
Yeah.
In the jacket with the sunglasses and the book bag. I'm like, how am I supposed to keep this a secret? And it's funny because when I saw him, I grabbed him. We're like, all right, let's go this way. Walk him around the back. And he had two dudes with him. I didn't really pay attention to who they were because I was only told, go get Cassidy. And then as I'm walking and talking, I look over. I'm like, oh, that's Colt Cabana. And then I see another dude behind him, but I couldn't recognize his face. So I just kind of figured, he's probably just a friend that's coming along for the ride. And then as we get upstairs, Cassidy's like, hey, man, can you get Uno a drink? I'm like, Uno? That was Evil Uno hanging out with them. So just like the lineup of people that were here, we've kind of mentioned them all, but we had Dolph Ziggler, the Hollywood Hunk, Ryan Nemeth. We had Miro. Miro was here hanging out in the back. Orange Cassidy, Sean Spears. Dalton Castle showed up at the end of the night. We had the Guns. And as I said, Colt Cabana, Evil Uno. It was an AEW party, pretty much, in that green room upstairs.
Oh, that's great. And Orange Cassidy, I threw John under the bus.
You motherfucker.
What happened? I didn't hear this.
He was like walking toward me, so I went to shake his hand, and I went like this.
Oh, right.
And then I was like, hey, he wanted me to do that.
Wait. No, before he gets here, we see him turn the corner, and Earl goes to me, he goes, I'm going to shake his hand like this. And I'm like, he probably hates that.
Oh.
Because, I mean, he obviously doesn't because he did it back. But I was like, he probably gets that all the time and fucking hates it. And then he walks in. Earl goes, no, I'm not. Fine, I won't do it. Then he comes in. Earl does it and goes, he dared me to do that.
Well, some guys live the gimmick. Some guys don't. Yeah,
like, I mean, he was in his Canadian tux. Yeah. He lives the gimmick.
He was in the gimmick.
He had his backpack with him. So I'm like, if there's a time to do this shake, it's right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but he was nice. They were all so nice. Not one dick the whole weekend.
Like, yeah.
Not, you'd think one of them would be tired or just not fan friendly. Like, every single one was, made me bigger fans of them. You know?
Absolutely. And then, you know, Van was running around taking pictures, and they were all super cool about it. You know, I was like, hey, is it cool if, you know, the house photographer grabs some shots? And they're like, yeah, hold on, let me get my sunglasses. And he's like, I have this belt. I'm like, fuck, I got to hold the brand new AEW International Championship, which was a beautiful belt, man. One of the best looking belts I've seen. I'll give that to AEW. Their belts are like, they feel like championship belts. You know, they look and feel like it. But yeah, for those of you that missed Hunkamania, you just heard the lineup. I don't know what you were doing. You know, I had a lot of friends hitting me up like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Why don't you come out to this event or that event? I'm like, I'm doing my thing. And why aren't you here? Because we had a full house of WWE talent, a full house of AEW talent. We had New Japan stars coming through here. It was just incredible. We also, so that was all what, Thursday?
And that's the most crowded I've ever seen that room.
It was really bad. Oh, wait, you know who else was there? So Bubba Ray.
Oh, that's right. So Bubba Ray showed up.
My guests. Yeah. I drew him in.
Okay, so Maya, the server. So the belly room is very small. It holds about 80, but we must have had over 110 in there. We were 30 overpacked. So like even the comics were getting asked to get out of the way because they wanted to watch the rest of the show. So Maya, who's one of our servers, shout out to Maya.
Yes.
She was coming up the back with a tray, and she's like, excuse me, coming through, drinks behind you, watch out, coming through. Everyone ignored her. I'm standing right next to her, and like I was about to tap Bubba Ray, and she goes, excuse me, like very, very
Vicky Guerrero.
And Bubba Ray, I've never seen a look of disgust on his face. When he must not have heard her. I don't think he was intentionally being a dick, although I hear things about him.
He used to put ladies through tables.
Yeah.
You know.
I hear he's done some terrible things to old women.
Yeah.
Like put them through tables.
She asked for it.
So Maya, he moves out of the way. He obviously didn't hear her, and he just gives her a look like, who the fuck are you screaming at?
Devon!
Like, yeah, I was like, Maya, the tables in here are not going to break as easy. You're going to be broken in half.
Also, shout out to a comedian that performed on the Hunkamania, was on at Mania.
Yeah, that's what...
He was a cop, right? Escorting Dom out?
Dan
Barry.
That's when I started to realize wrestling might not be real. Like, wait a minute. This guy was just on a comedy show with me. He's not a prison guard.
That's what you took away from it? All I kept thinking is, how did Dom get in prison again?
Why? Right.
We'll
yeah.
get to that, but...
He's a bad boy, man. You don't know.
Well, I knew two of the three prison guards. One guy was in a pilot with. Like, wait a minute. Like, what?
We'll get to that, but that was a really fun night, and it was just crazy seeing everybody just show up and support Hunkamania.
Yeah.
And just so you know, for next time, I don't know if they'll do it next time, but they gave... Him and Dolph signed the posters and gave out posters to everyone that bought a ticket, so...
Yep.
You got your money's worth if you went to that show.
And if you want some of those posters, let's just say some might be in the back of my Jeep.
Oh, no.
Ryan at the end of the night was like, hey, Earl, you want a t-shirt? Because he had his new AEW t-shirt. I'm like, I already took one. Don't worry about it. I'm getting my money.
So I feel like I'm almost out of breath, and we're only on Thursday. We just finished Thursday. Friday, I was invited by RJ City to go see Super Card of Honor. But before that, John and I went and filmed a bunch of footage at the WWE Superstore at the LA Convention Center. We got to see our shirts. We got to see the belt. Take some good content that we'll put out at some point whenever we can recover from this week. CJ Lopez. I don't know who's calling me right now. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was cool to see it on display because it was exclusive to the convention. We're going to actually have it in stock here at some point, the t-shirts, but it was cool to just see it on a rack with all of these other local businesses that they partnered with.
And Snoop Dogg. We were right next to Snoop Dogg's shirts.
Yeah.
It was crazy, crazy, crazy. But yeah, we did that during the day, and then I went out to Ring of Honor, Super Card of Honor, which was amazing, top to bottom, stacked card. RJ, I texted him. I'm like, dude, these seats are incredible. He gave me second row seats right by hard cam, so I got to see everything. I was sitting right behind the Briscoe family, which was especially tough to do while Samoa Joe was choking out their dad. Front of their face, like he choked them out, like until he dropped to the ground. Like the kids were crying, like out of control. There was also the ladder match. They had a tag team ladder match to finally have Mark Briscoe give up the Ring of Honor tag titles. And during that ladder match, there was a spot. I just see Maria Kanellis walk in front of me, and she's like, "You need to get these kids out of here." I'm like, "What? Those aren't my kids." And they're like, "No, get the kids out."
You don't know that.
Yeah, and then as soon as she said that, somebody plopped a ladder, like, right in front of the kids, like, you know, slanted towards the ring.
Oh, wow.
And they just had to, like, just move everybody out of the way because they were doing a giant spot right into us. There was a massive injury as well that my heart dropped, man, because we were watching that ladder match, and there was a spot with Penta and, what's his name? I'm forgetting it. The Top Flight kid, Dante Martin. Dante Martin and Penta did one of those sunset flips into a bunch of tables. And when he landed, Dante's foot broke, like backwards. It was completely backwards, bone out. But from my angle, and I was sitting with the Republic of Lucha family, the Pentas family, everybody, and when we saw that, we couldn't really see the injury. All we saw was Dante going head first into a bunch of tables, so we immediately assumed the worst, you know, because we saw stretchers immediately run out and chaos, and it was just kind of like, oh no, I really hope it wasn't like a death or neck injury or something. So even though it's bad and those kids have the worst luck ever because his brother's been injured numerous times, at least it was just a foot and not a neck injury or a head injury or anything worse. But incredible. Claudio versus Eddie Kingston was incredible. Commander versus Hijo del Vikingo started the show, which was, you know, he had just had his match with Kenny Omega. That was spectacular. Just all around great, great card from Ring of Honor. I was very happy to be there, so thank you to them. Friday night, did you do anything exciting while I was at Ring of Honor? What did you do?
I was killed in front of Husky Harris.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, because I went to SmackDown. So.
Oh, yeah, John went to SmackDown and the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we're all so covered.
We were covering every inch of the city. The only thing we all didn't do was Wale Mania. But SmackDown was great. It was the face-to-face with Cody and Roman. It was literally Roman comes down, gets in Cody's face, and then says a few things and walks out. It was. SmackDown was okay. For a go-home episode, it was kind of eh. The Hall of Fame was great. It was great to see Comedy Store legend Andy Kaufman get inducted. Thank you, Tyler Kaufman, for hooking us up. He was there with his family. His family accepted the honor, I guess, of being the induction. Yeah, so that was just cool to have him be part of that class and get to see it. And then earlier in the day, we had seen his neck brace and his outfit.
So that's Lois. She wasn't a fan of the ceremony.
She didn't like the ceremony. Nah, that's understandable. It was cool to see Ric Flair in person doing the induction of the Great Muda.
Oh yeah.
It was just fun. It was just a lot of fun to just see it right before Mania, and it was a solid Friday night. And then my dad was already burnt out, so I took him home, and I'm like, I'm gonna go in for a few hours, and boy, am I glad that I did.
Yeah, John texted me. He's like, Bray Wyatt's here, and I was already in bed, super sore from obviously everything I just said, and I made the stupid decision to just say, you know what, I'm good. I should have come out.
I was expecting to see you crash through a wall like the like, where is he? Where is he? He's in the bucket seats.
Yeah, I really thought about it, and it pained me, but because Bray Wyatt is one of my personal favorites, but. I'm really glad you guys got to hang out with him, and he was here. He got to enjoy some comedy.
Yeah, I got to do a full set in front of him.
Yeah, man.
Drop a few IRS jokes. I mean, I'm probably never going to be able to do that again and get a laugh.
We thought we could, so Josh Martin was in town, and we were like, let's try and pull him out of the room before Josh goes up, just to see Josh have a complete meltdown. We didn't do it. It just would have been funny, like Josh comes back, and that's what happens to him.
But he had one of the better sets I've ever seen him have. You know, it's like your comedy is elevated when someone you like is in the room. And like, I've never been more nervous in my life than... you know, those 5 minutes before I went on, because he was sitting where Mitzi sat. So I'm like, man, this is like, he's going to see and hear every single joke I do.
He
so.
Came with JoJo. And then after Josh's set, we let Josh have his moment. And then Earl goes in and goes, let's go for a tour. So we gave him a tour. We showed him, I don't know who those other two guys were, but
the guy who got me a free ticket to WrestleMania. So,
really? I don't know who he is.
He likes to be in the background, so
that's fine. I never got his name, but we gave a tour to Bray, JoJo, and these two other cool guys that we just followed us that I don't know who they were. We gave him the grand tour. We went up to the roof. We made him feel welcome. He was just like, yeah, we want to come back. We talked some shop. I'm not going to get into it. I will say to the fans, just know that if you think there's something that is pretty bad happening in his storyline, it's 100% exactly what you think. It's not him.
Yeah.
So it was just cool to know that, like, he gets frustrated, but he's a good team player, and the glow in the dark. Like, we'll try to get him on the pod next time he's out here, because he lives in Florida now, but he was telling us about the glow in the dark match, and he's like, I begged Triple H not to put me in that. I begged him.
No, I mean, it's welcome to Hollywood, Bri.
The nicest guy. The nicest guy. I mean, I don't think I've met anybody in real life that just as nice and just happy to be there. He was so excited to be at the Comedy Store. He's like, I didn't even, and he's so humble. He was like, I didn't even think we were going to be able to get in. I was like,
oh, get out of here, Bray. What's wrong with
you? Well, you got to figure, like, I think Jessica Michelle was in the booth that night. She probably just sees this giant dude. That's $20, you know, like, all four of you, $80. Like, this ain't the Tommy era, man. You got to pay to come in the club.
Yeah, so it was, he was just the nicest guy.
And took him into Mitzi's office just to show you, like, I don't think people realize how special that is. I've been up here as a paid regular, I think, 10 years now. I've never once seen that room. Like, it is hallowed. It is beyond sacred ground. And to see Bray in there like a little kid, it would be the equivalent if he took us, I don't know, in the locker room. Like, it's just not, no one goes up in that, nobody. So it was neat to see someone I'm a fan of, being a fan of, you know, Mitzi and the club.
And Earl broke news because I was looking at wrestling sites during the day and there was like, oh, there's rumors of Bray Wyatt having a spot, but as of this report, there's no sightings of Bray Wyatt in L.A. And then Earl posts a fucking selfie with Bray at the Comedy Store.
No one told me not to post it.
So then immediately, I'm like, oh my God, Bray's in L.A., it's happening. Well, and then it didn't happen.
But if you would have said, hey, don't post it, no problem.
I didn't post the picture until you did. I'm like, this is payback for you throwing me under the bus. I'm like, let Earl get the heat, and then people could think I stole it from him. But, the story came out that Uncle Howdy was in the house, was in L.A., and then everyone was like, there's no evidence that Bray Wyatt is here. Oops. Meanwhile, like, Bray and JoJo were just hanging out on the roof the night before.
Yeah.
I'm expecting we see something. We're going to put this episode out in an hour. It's going to come out today.
Strike while the WrestleMania.
Exactly. Like, but I assume tonight we'll be seeing Bray on Raw.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what storyline they could give him. I hope it's
just
a
refresh. Just do something new.
A good, like, it's inconceivable to me that he was not. You bring him back, it's a lot of fanfare. Probably a war between him going to AEW and here. Like, and you don't have him on WrestleMania. His first WrestleMania back, it's just like and Dolph Ziggler and the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yeah, that Battle Royal, that's what I'll say was fun. Like, we hit, so Friday at SmackDown, we had just, I mean, the Battle Royal used to be a WrestleMania pre-show thing. Now it's a Friday SmackDown thing. But just seeing a lot of the guys that were here during the day, Santos Escobar, LA Knight, Dolph, Baron, they were all, and of course Baron.
First one up.
Zero respect.
Welcome to the business,
zero respect,
brother,
for this man.
I mean, zero respect during Now Time of Mania. Sam kept calling him bum-ass Corbin. It's like,
oh, my
Jesus
God.
Christ.
It was just so funny. But, yeah, it was cool to see them. And then L.A. Knight's just the fucking coolest. Another really nice guy.
Yeah.
We were talking to him for a bit. But, yeah, so SmackDown, we saw Dolph. He lost. They all lost. And then we thought we were going to see L.A. Knight. And we'll get to that when we do the WrestleMania recap. But we thought we were going to see one of these guys show up at Mania. And we got Shane McMahon, who lasted 10 seconds before getting injured. So we'll get into that. But I'm expecting we see Bray. My hope would be that they could bring up, I think NXT has like this Bible thumping group or something.
Yeah, yeah.
They bring them up tonight and they try to take over. And Bray comes out and just lays them all out. And like starts, he needs to do something with another supernatural type entity or like another group where him and Uncle Howdy could just destroy a group and break them in. They don't need to win. These NXT guys don't need to win for the next few months. Bring them up. Let them face someone like Bray that if you beat them, it doesn't lose their credibility and you're helping them build as they get onto the roster. And that would be my hope for Bray Wyatt. I don't want him fighting fucking Omos.
Oh, God.
We'll get to that match, too.
But. I was there for that, man. Like, you know, I like my big man matches, but, like, and I had a someone, let's just say, high up in the company. He's like, hey, I listened to the podcast. I know you're a big man match guy. They're leading off night two. If I were you, I'd get there early. I'm like, why? Like, if you're late, you might not see the match.
Get there like, what? Early.
I said 8 minutes, which is what I think we said last. It's like, might be just a little bit shorter than that, but we'll get to that.
Well, let's get into it now. We're done with everything else.
Did we cover everything else?
Yeah, we got Not Sam, we got tryouts, Hunkamania, Supercard of Honor, Bloodsport. Yeah, pretty much everything.
Oh my God, what a week.
What a week. So Saturday night is night one of WrestleMania. It was kicked off by John Cena versus Austin Theory. And boy, did that go pretty much exactly how I thought it would go. I'm glad that John put over the new talent. John's got movies to film. He's not going to become champion. So I don't know. There were some folks that picked Cena for this match. You two specifically. I don't know. I knew it. John's not going to become champion. He's got to defend it. Maybe he could drop it Monday Night Raw, but it would be better for Theory if he wins. And he did. What did you think about that?
You know, it was a fun match. I mean, I don't think there were many throughout the two nights, oh my God, moments. You know, it was a good match. You know, I mean, Cena's incredibly popular, so it got people's attention right out of the chute. He sold for the kid.
He had a bunch of Make-A-Wish kids on stage that got to watch him lose.
I was in the Make-A-Wish section last night. I was like, Jesus, man.
Were you really?
Yeah. I was like, all these kids around me, because I had the same. I'm not going to lie. I just woke up and came here. And all the kids were like obsessed with the shirt. They were like pointing at me. I'm like, wait a minute. I paid for this ticket. I'm good. So, I mean, I liked it. I mean, it wasn't like a mind-blowing opener, but it got the job done.
Sure. Yeah. We also got Rhea Ripley becoming the new women's SmackDown champion. I don't know if I'm saying that right at this point, but she's a new champ, as I predicted as well. I mean, as everybody, I think we all picked Rhea on that one. Yeah, we did. You know, it was her time. And you could tell even Charlotte, like after the match was over, Charlotte was smiling and clapping at on the floor.
But boy, there were a few spots Charlotte did where I'm telling you.
Oh, was she laying on her face?
Another, but there was that one, and then there was another one where I'm telling you, another inch, and she got a broken neck. Like so, and of course the crowd's going nuts because it was like
crazy to see. Yeah,
it was like, oh, okay, that they really planned that out, and it was scary. But that was my favorite match overall, outside of Cody. And Roman, that was my favorite match.
It was an incredible match. It was a really, really good match for the women's division. Really strong presence there, so that was good.
The only thing that sort of turns me off is we know it's the countdown to Charlotte becoming 16-time champion.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So like, I'm just a little annoyed that you know she's getting the title back, whether it's soon or not. It's going back around her waist two more times at least.
Yeah.
But it was a great match. Best women's match of the two nights.
Easily. Oh, by far.
Also, I believe she got a breast reduction because I remember she was way bigger up top before, and now she looks. It looks fitting now.
Like I don't know. I think the way Rhea threw her, they just popped.
Yeah,
that spot on the face was nuts.
Well,
man.
She was bleeding at the top of her nose, and I'm like, did a bone pop out? I think it might have been makeup.
I think it was a scrape. I think if she landed like this, it might have
like
scraped.
Yeah, like a burn.
Yeah, I thought that her like a bone popped out. I was freaking out until I saw. I was like, no, it would be bleeding a lot worse.
Yeah, we had also Seth Rollins defeating Logan Paul and his bottle of Prime Energy drink. Mascot, which was ridiculous. Apparently, it's a famous YouTuber or content. KSI, KS1, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. I know I've used his face as a reaction gif for people, like on, you know, text messages and stuff.
He's a rapper. KSI.
He's a rapper?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
He's a UK rapper. What annoyed me.
Partner of Prime, I guess.
Didn't he fight? Didn't he fight in some one of those scam boxing matches?
Probably.
Didn't they have a celebrity boxing match?
The Paul brothers do that all the time, so I'm assuming.
I don't know. All I know is Michael Cole pretended he knew who KSI was a little more than he should have. Like, Michael Cole was like, oh my God, it's KSI. Michael Cole, sit down. You know that. You don't know who KSI is.
Yeah, he's being fed that in his ear.
Of course.
For sure.
Michael Cole was on fire for two nights. I don't know if you were watching him at all last night. He was not in his seat. He was freaking the fuck out. Yep. Which was amazing.
I think that has a lot to do with the news that broke this morning, and
we'll talk about that.
I do think they could have gotten, like, you know, WrestleMania, it's all about the surprises, and there's very few left. They could have had a better surprise. Like, you knew someone was in that.
Oh, of course.
But, you know, maybe, I don't know, Floyd Mayweather would, oh, okay, that's cool.
Turn on him and punch him or something. Yeah.
So, I honestly was hoping it was Dean Ambrose. There was just a part of me that was just like, maybe we didn't know his contract was up.
Yeah.
And he was going to come cost Rollins the match and set
Dean
that
would
up.
Never wear he a would, prime model. Would,
I realized that halfway through. I'm like, there's no way that's Dean.
Oh, man. But we also had Becky, Trish, and Lita defeat Damage Control, which I thought was a stupid call. I get it. The legends are, you know, here, and we got to put, you know, make everybody feel good. But, like, what is Damage Control now? They're nothing. Like, they keep losing everything.
They just won the title. Lita and Becky just won the title. So you can't weaken. Because if they lose now to Damage Control, they make Trish look like the weak link. Everybody, there's no win there. Damage Control can come back.
I guess, dude. Right now, they feel worthless, and it sucks because they're all very, very talented. Bailey, Io, and Dakota are all very talented, and they feel useless.
They need to pull a Judgment Day, and they need to turn on Bailey, send Bailey into like a single spiral. Like, Bailey should be champion by now. It's crazy.
Okay, we also had Rey Mysterio defeating his son, Dom. I really did not see this coming. I thought he would definitely put his son over, but it also makes sense. I'm not mad about it at all. Even though I picked Dom, I do have to mention the entrances. They were so, so cool, man. Dom coming out with the prison Dom. They had a video package of him getting taken out of prison. Then the escort van coming out, and he got escorted out, as we mentioned, with some of your
comics,
buddies.
Actors, like, but anyone but a prison guard. Like,
but nobody knows why he was in prison again.
Yeah, he's a bad boy. You know, he's doing stuff. Maybe he got caught last night stealing some candy from 7-Eleven. Who knows?
Less than 24 hours before, he was at the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Oh, that's what it was. He probably broke something at the ceremony.
But if you're really in prison, like, I've known a few people, they don't let you leave for WrestleMania and then come back.
Like a conjugal visit, you know?
And then he'll be at Raw tonight. Like, they don't give you a couple of days.
Not only that, he was in prison with his gear.
Yeah.
That has to be his entrance for the rest of his sentence.
Yeah.
I will say, though, he did look amazing in the match.
Dude, like, I popped hard.
That's where I think Ray put him over. He looked great in the match. This is the first time I'm saying anything nice about Dom.
Well, not the match. I think we were talking about the mask.
No, I mean,
the match was good, too.
I thought Ray made him look really good in the match. Yeah, yeah. It was the first time I thought, oh, he can get into that place where he is right now still mid-card. I don't think he's going to be at the top for a while.
Yeah.
But Ray had to win. I think it's going to be a continuing story. I think they'll be facing each other again in Puerto Rico.
Oh, absolutely.
For how young he is, he's a good wrestler. Like, you know, and you're in there with one of the greatest all-time technicians. Clearly calling the match. I mean, I'm sure his dad's not going to bury his own son. Like,
right.
So I liked it. You know, it's very good and a lot of emotion and this wife slapping. Like,
the only thing I hated was the
cinnamon.
Two things I hated. We'll talk about cinnamon in a second. But Ray takes off the belt and starts whipping him. Not a single disqualification call at all.
Cool spot, though. I mean, I was expecting
everyone
that
went
spot.
Nuts. Everybody went nuts, but that's a disqualification right there. Ref, yeah, you were watching the whole thing.
That's
ref.
A weapon.
I mean, the referee in WrestleMania was a little substandard.
Yeah. But yeah, my biggest gripe with that match was definitely the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, man. Like, for the love of God, WWE, I get it. You got to make money. There's marketing. But that match, why not the women's showcase or something else that doesn't really have this emotional, powerful, you know, like a dad beating up his son in front of his family. Like,
I mean, you had to do it for that match because that's how you maximize how much they're willing to pay you, because people know there are certain matches that they're going to go to the bathroom for.
Yeah.
Nobody was going to the bathroom for Ray and Dominic. So they put a guy in a Cinnamon Toast Crunch costume there and prison Dom had to walk right back.
Two mascots. And the whole fucking show. Like, what are we doing? What is this?
But, you know, you bring up going to the bathroom. It, live, it's key to pick your spot.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that arena, and maybe we'll talk about this later, for two billionaires to build this mausoleum, and it's horribly laid out. The hallways are very tight, and the bathrooms, when it's crowded, it's game on.
Like, yeah, it was like 35 minutes to just be in line to go pee. Yeah, it was insane.
Women in the men's rooms, men sneaking into the women's room.
Not in the VIP suite. We had our own bathroom.
Oh. I mean, I'm a commoner. I'm a commoner. I'm with the people.
Hell fan.
Thank you, WWE. I was
in the Make-A-Wish section. Like, I don't know how I ended up there, but like, you know, I'm not going to do any jokes about it, but like, I picked up a few minutes of material.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I mean, it was out.
But, you know, again, WWE, just tone it down a little. Like, did we need Rey Mysterio's name in cereal, like, on the screen? That was I don't know. Anyway.
But it's the new way, though. Like,
oh, for sure. That was like the Mountain Dew match. It was the same idea.
WWE was, I think Triple H said $40 million in marketing in like advertising for this thing.
I believe it.
I'm surprised there wasn't a spot where Ray like threw some milk at fucking Dom at some point, or some cereal.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Like, whip him with the belt and then like, eat your cereal.
We'll talk about the post show in a second also.
Yeah. Also in the men's showcase match, I'm not going to go over that too much. It was a great match. Fun spot festival. Shout out to Chad Gable for that ridiculous power or German suplex deadlift on Braun Strowman, of all people, dude. He did a rollover and then just deadlifted Braun Strowman over into a German suplex. Incredible. Chad Gable is a future champion, hopefully, like Kurt Angle style.
Yo, he reminds me, he looks like Kurt Angle. Like, it was impressive, like, to do that to Braun Strowman.
I heard a story, because I brought, and I'm not going to say who said it, so we don't throw anybody under the bus, but I brought up the whole, like, you know, back then when they did the Kurt Angle storyline with Chad Gable and Jason Jordan, why didn't they pick Chad Gable as the son? Why did they go with Jason Jordan? Apparently it was a backstage rib on Kurt Angle because there was rumors that he was into black women. So they were like, yeah, they were just ribbing him so he could make Jason Jordan his kid.
I mean, listen, remember when they brought Paul White out as Andre the Giant's son? I'm like, oh, that's believable. Like, it's
yeah.
The same size.
Yeah, man. But anyway, so the Street Profits won that match. I had picked that one as well. They looked incredible, too. Great, great match. And then I think finally the main event, which was Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens defeating the Usos and becoming the undisputed tag champions. That was the feel-good moment of the weekend, I think. Everybody popped incredibly loud. It was just a happy times. You know, Sami got three haluva kicks on Jey Uso, kind of just putting a stamp and closing that chapter, I think, moving forward. I think the Bloodline story now moves forward just Roman. The Usos are now, they'll be there, but I think there's going to be some kind of development where, you know, Roman's mad that they lost their match and there's going to be some friction there. Because I think that's where that story goes now. I don't think we're getting a Cody rematch. I think we're just going to get the Bloodline deteriorating. We're going to get Roman versus Solo and Roman versus Jimmy and Jay. I don't know. We'll see where
that
is.
We're going to find out. They announced tonight, so I was wrong, Cody's not getting a singles title match, but it's going to be Roman and Solo versus Cody and a secret partner.
Ooh.
So that's going to probably be a nice debut. I'm guessing Bron Breakker. I'm not particularly excited about Bron Breakker, especially after the Rick Steiner shit
that happened this weekend
that we didn't talk about.
Or maybe Bray Wyatt.
Ooh, that would be pretty
doesn't
decent.
Really like
yeah.
Make sense like in terms of like
American know. Nightmare and Bray Wyatt? It wouldn't be the worst thing.
Oh no, but like, you know, I'd mark out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch Raw tonight. That's insane. I haven't watched Raw in like a decade.
It's technically WrestleMania night 3. It's the biggest Raw of the year. Also, shout out to Kevin Owens and Sammy for showing love and support for Southern California Wrestling and wearing the PWG logo on their gear. And shout out to Triple H and WWE for letting them do that, because they don't typically let you do that.
I'm sure Vince was, what's PWG?
He didn't even know. He was like, is that a new sponsor?
Vince can't say shit when he walks around with that new mustache.
Oh my, dude, Vicente McMahon.
Yeah, I mean, like, who is in hair and makeup in WWE? Where, hey Vince, you look good, man.
Dude. He looks like a straight up villain from a movie, yeah, with the dyed hair and the dyed eyebrows, and they're kind of pointy now, and the stash. I'm like, when's he gonna tie up a woman in a railroad track? Like, what is happening right now?
Eddie's gotten funnier, dude.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I'm hanging around with you. You're
actually
rubbing off.
Actually, that's a Brad Williams tweet.
Oh, yeah.
We got a Mencia on our hands.
Oh, sorry. I'm stealing jokes from Brad Williams.
He looks like a Dick Tracy villain.
He does. He does. For sure.
It's really bad.
Vicente McMahon, my God. Anyway, did you say, what was the post? Oh, was there something in the press conference?
So Snickers sponsored the press conference after night one, and everybody had to come and sit down, put a Snickers on the table, and say, Snickers satisfies. And then they opened it up to everybody, and Kevin Owens just starts eating a Snickers bar while they're talking and doing their portion of it. And it was just... it was humiliating. And I know that the superstars that do that stuff get a cut of the mark of the ad money. That's why Bray, I think, probably agreed to it, because they got a lot of money for that glow-in-the-dark thing. But, I mean, WWE got a lot of money. I don't know if Bray did. But they get a cut of it. And Kevin Owens was going all in, to the point where Triple H made fun of it last night when the Pope's Exorcist was the sponsor of the press conference. Let's get to night two, and we'll talk about how the audience did not like advertisements.
Oh, that was the biggest boo last night. I was like, I didn't see it at first. You know, I'm like, I'm in a wacky two sections, and I'm like, why are they booing? This is a great match. And then I look up, and oh boy.
Yeah, I also noticed the Rhea Ripley during her press conference kept mentioning, oh, this was all so satisfying. Being able to do this match was very satisfying. And then I look down, there's a Snickers bar that says satisfying.
God, it was
so bad.
As Earl would say, out of control.
It was.
I mean, I get you got to make money, and it's, you know, a lot of money to put on. I can't imagine how much it cost him to put up. I mean, SoFi looked amazing. It looked like Mad Max meets an Oscar part, like... But, I mean, there's got to be a better way than, you know.
All the branding?
In the middle of a match. Yeah. Go through a commercial in the inner TV screen.
Yeah, and that brings us finally to night two of WrestleMania. We're at the end here, but I want to give a quick shout out to Mike Rome and Samantha Irving's announcing that I've been to WWE shows before, but I've never felt it like that. Maybe it was just me because we were at Mania and everything, but it felt like they were, the announcing was like extra powerful. I don't know why. Just like I kept getting goosebumps with every announcement, even for Omos, who I'm not a big fan of. When they announced, I was just like, oh man, like we're in something special.
I did like his outfit. Like,
oh yeah,
very. I mean, he's gonna look menacing if he's wearing a golf shirt, but like that, you know, it was kind of an ominous, you know, low-tech walkout. I thought they could have done a little better in his walkout.
But yeah, great, great moment in time just to be there. The opening of the Sunday night was Omos and Brock. And the pop for Brock, man. When that music hit, everybody went crazy. Really short match like we talked about. I think it was like 4.5 minutes.
I mean, my source told me it was going to be 3 minutes.
I think they went a little long.
I mean, I don't know. You guys know me. I love the big man matches, from, you know, Vader against Sid to, you know, last night. I didn't think it was a good way to start the show.
Like, no.
Kind of low energy.
Brock clearly wanted to get home. Okay, so my dad also was looking forward to it. He likes those big matches too. And he even said, like, that was eh.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it looked like Brock got hurt. Like, he was thrown on his hip, and I don't know if he was just playing hurt, but the show ended 17 minutes earlier than the night before, so I'm wondering if that match was supposed to go longer.
If we're to believe Earl's sources,
I mean,
no.
My guy said literally 3 minutes. I'm like, you're kidding. It's going to be like eight.
They had less matches than the night before, so I don't know why they would make them shorter. They only had 6 matches. I think night one had 7.
Yeah. But you might be right, though. I mean, I think we forget how big both those guys are, but specifically Omos.
Like, it's hard to pick that dude up.
But a basic, like when he put him in the F5 the first time and he kind of acted like his back was wrenched, I can imagine even you're as good of an athlete as Lesnar is, having 410 pounds, and he's probably heavier than that.
Yeah.
On your lower back, that's got to at least pull a muscle or something. Yeah. So, but I don't know. You guys know how much I love the big boys. I just thought that match should have been somewhat. You needed a high flying event, something like to get the crowd really going.
The women's showcase would have been cool to start with. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. But I mean, it wasn't a horrible match, but it was just kind of okay. Yeah.
Well, speaking of the women's showcase, that happened, and my picks, Rhonda and Shayna won. Shout out to Shayna, Barnett's student. That, you know, big WrestleMania moment for her. They've been kind of not doing her right on WWE, so it's cool to see her win. But it was also cool to see Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, who were in the main room bathroom taking pictures and posting them online. And Raquel's actually been reposting a lot of our posts, so shout out to her. Thank you for, you know, being so great. Really fun match. Also, kind of not as spectacular as I was hoping, but like with spots and everything, because the last showcase had a lot. It was a big spot fest. So, but it was still fun. You know, good showcase for the ladies.
I mean, I thought Rousey wasn't in it that much.
She wasn't, because she has a broken arm.
So, well, I don't care. You're gonna make that kind of money. I don't care if you're the drummer from Def Leppard. Get in there, honey.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that she was actually there, as opposed to like just saying, "Oh, can't make it. I broke my arm." You know, so it was. I give her props for showing up to work with a broken arm. But yes, she was barely in that match, and she just came in for the one move at the end, right?
But that's her homage to Piper. Like, I think if she didn't have the affinity she does for Roddy Piper, she would have probably, let someone else. I can't do it. I'll be the manager. But, you know, say, what would Roddy do? He'd wrestle.
He'd wrestle with a broken arm. Hell yeah. We also had Bianca Belair going over on Asuka Kamari, retaining her championship. I thought this was a bad call. It was definitely, I think, the build wasn't great, but just having the rebranded Asuka, I felt like it was time for her. You know, Bianca's had the belt for over a year and has been very strong, so losing to Asuka would not hurt her at all. But I think the decision may have come down to apparently Bianca's entrance. One of the little girls that was doing the dance routine, her mom died that same day, and the girl still showed up and did the dance routine, which is crazy. In the press conference, Triple H mentioned it and was like crying and everything, so pretty crazy. Maybe that had an influence on the decision, but I would have definitely given it to Asuka. I think it was her time. I think we all picked Asuka.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of weird that, I mean, I get whatever. I get it, you know?
I thought because the great Muda coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
All the Asian wrestlers would be given like a little bump, just, you know.
Dude, that would have been beautiful to have him come out at the end. She's holding the belt. They both do the mist, you know, but I guess that whole situation with the dancer may have, I think, honestly, that might have been, it might have taken or been an impact on that.
It was a good match though, live. I don't know how it looked on TV, but, you know, it was entertaining. It was good.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. We also had, to me, match of the night, even though the main event was really, really good as well, but my match of the night was Gunther defeating Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. Hard hitting.
Yeah,
those chops, dude.
My God. I mean, I heard him from where I was, and I was probably, I don't know, 200 yards from the ring. Like, it was, and they had good chemistry. Like, I liked it.
Great chemistry, hard hitting. Gunther winning was the correct choice. We need to make the internet and intercontinental belt have, you know, more meaning, and he's doing that, and he's like a cool old school throwback style wrestler that I think is awesome. So good on him. I've been following his career since he was Walter in the Indies.
I mean, I saw him in XPW in 2022. Like, that is mind blowing to me that you could go from a Pomona show that's half empty to, and in a, I love, he is a throwback guy, because that reminded me of an 80s match, like a fall brawl type of, you know, all three guys just hard-hitting, bordering on almost a shoot match at times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What else did we have? My pop of the night, I got to live a thing that I've been wanting to do for so, so many years. I've been following Finn Balor since his early New Japan days, and he became my favorite wrestler throughout the whole time. He was the leader of the Bullet Club. The Demon King is one of my favorite gimmicks of all time, more so than The Fiend. And I had never had the opportunity to be there for the entrance. And it was really good to see that they brought back the original music too. So I let myself go. I was screaming. I was full out marked, like just doing the thing with the hands in the air. And
he was absolutely. And Sophie and I were downstairs and we were loving everything. Like, it was like watching a kid just have the time of his life.
I get it.
That was the one. That was the one for me that I'm going to let go. I'm going to let all my, like, oh, maybe people are going to think I'm a mark, or maybe people are looking at me. I was like, fuck all of you. I've been waiting for this for so long to see the demon. And then he loses. Stand. Why would you do that? He took a ladder to the face, cracked open his skull. It was like, devastating. It was like this big. They had to staple him during the match. They had to pause the match. Edge had to go act like he was looking for weapons or something to distract the crowd, while the doctors, apparently they injected him with a numbing agent and stapled his skull. And then he just got up and kept going with the match like nothing had happened.
So don't tell me wrestling's fake.
Dude. Like,
if you've seen the, I think I put it on my Twitter.
The cut.
It's from his Instagram page. Dude, like, how he finished the match. Because I felt bad after the match was over. I'm like, that match was okay, because I didn't know about the actual injury.
But yeah.
Now that I do know, it was a good match.
That was a very good match.
No, I mean, I thought, this is a little slow pace. You know, Edge clearly knows where all the freaking weapons are. It's like he's looking, going, oh, I don't know where they are. Now I understand.
He was panicking.
Also, Edge had to be fucking spot on with that concerto, because one little thing, his brain would have popped out of that thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big gash.
And the fire, you know, Edge's entrance, from my angle, like, one step in the wrong direction and he's caught on fire, man. Like, that was very risky.
That was one of my bigger disappointments of the night. Like, we'll talk about what we wanted to see that didn't happen. Supposedly there were rumors that Gangrel and Christian were going to show up for the Brood entrance. And also, the other thing I want to mention, Sam Roberts talked about it last night. He was recording his pod down here. The fact that they called him Brood Edge when he walked in.
Yeah.
I was so annoyed by that.
I will say the entrance was really cool looking. Mask was cool. The wings were cool. Slayer playing through SoFi Stadium at WrestleMania. I mean, I popped for that hard. That was awesome.
Was that the first song that was playing?
Yeah. That was weird that they did Slayer and then they stopped and then they brought the You Think You Know Me.
Alter Bridge.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if Edge would have brought Christian out, I would have ran through security.
That was supposed to be the thing. It was because Gangrel was in town. They said he's supposedly here for Edge's entrance. Then the rumor was that Tony Khan approved Christian making the appearance to have the original Brood back. And then all it said on screen was Brood Edge. I was like, okay, this is kind of stupid.
But I thought, because Christian's not, his storyline with Jungle Boy and
Luchasaurus,
it's kind of over.
He got buried. He's dead. He got buried at the end of that match, remember?
Hey, Kamala came back from his casket match.
That's true.
So I thought, maybe. That's what I do like about Tony Khan. I don't think it's good for business to let one of your wrestlers go on the other company's biggest like pay-per-view. And like, yeah. But, I do we'll talk about it later. I do think the card overall lacked that, oh my God, surprise.
Yeah. I will give Tony Khan credit for letting some of his talent show up for like the Hall of Fame. Malakai Black was at Hall of Fame with his wife, Selena. I saw Buddy Matthews with Rhea at the Hall of Fame as well. So,
are they married?
They're not married, Buddy and Rhea. They're dating. But
Andrade
was there with Charlotte, which is cool. But Andrade's kind of he's not an AEW anymore.
He might come back tonight. He might be Cody's partner. Who knows?
Oh, ooh, yeah, that'd be pretty.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. But yeah, going back to the Finn Balor match, and I'm not just saying because I'm a fan. Edge has beaten Finn and the Judgment Day in almost every encounter. He wins, and then they beat him up after. Edge didn't need this win. It should have gone to the Demon Finn. Now you have completely devalued the Demon Finn. He lost to Roman in that weird spot where the ropes broke. We could forgive that and say, well, it was weird. The spot was weird. You know, the ropes broke. But now losing to Finn or to Edge is just, that's it. That demon character is dead now. It has no value whatsoever. I don't think it's worth bringing him back, which sucks because it's like, again, it's one of my favorites. also, forgot to mention this about night one, but I'll mention it now because it also happened in night two. We mentioned it briefly. Miz and Snoop Dogg were out there as the hosts of WrestleMania. Night one was the big surprise.
Pat McAfee
came out and had a match with Miz. Cool, I guess.
I mean, it was a little dead.
Yeah. It was very dead.
I mean, yeah, I want Pat McAfee back on commentary. It was, I think the best thing about that was just seeing Michael Cole lose his shit.
Yeah. Because
that's his boy. And it was cool to see Michael Cole get really happy there. And then night two, we had Miz come out again. And that's when we had the Shane match, which we mentioned earlier. Shane blew out his quad almost immediately. And apparently Snoop Dogg, just being a fan of the business, just clicked. He was like, you know what? I'm going to take over. Did a horrendous people's elbow.
That was pretty funny. I did mark out a little bit when he did that.
Yeah, that was funny.
I was like, he doesn't have, he was looking for like the elbow pad, but then he took off his glasses and tossed them. I was like, all right, that's pretty cool.
So before I knew Shane got injured, I thought it was all as it was supposed to be. And I thought as he was going to deliver the people's elbow, The Rock's music was going to hit.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
I mean, I was expecting some surprises. I was very disappointed.
Yeah, the surprises level. Were whack. Yeah.
I mean, I understand, like, next year you're in Philadelphia, maybe a big surprise is when you do the travel, but you're in L.A.
I wonder how much they're going to have to spend on security.
Oh, let me tell you, I've been to a UFC event in Philadelphia. It's no joke. Philly fans are on another level. Like, they cheered when Michael Irvin got almost paralyzed.
They won the World Series and burnt the city down.
I mean,
in happiness.
Yeah.
I mean, they won two Stanley Cups just because other teams were scared of the Flyers. Like, they literally just were like jungle hockey. So I personally would not have put WrestleMania in Philadelphia, but the lack of surprises. You know, Christian would have been awesome,
even not even big surprises, just things that they should have done. I mean, we'll get.
No, we can talk about it now. Let's leave. You know, we'll leave the main event. But yeah, like LA Knight.
LA Knight, best guy on the mic in the company right now. Not a mention.
With the name of the city in which we are in his own name.
And he's on posters. He's on the posters that were rotating on the stage all night.
I just don't get it.
Nothing. Bray Wyatt. Nothing.
That's insane. Like,
no Stone Cold. No Rock.
No Undertaker.
No Undertaker.
Who we know was in town for
the Dead Man Show.
I mean, I don't know what. They knew they had time to spare on night two.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done something. I was very surprised. I guess the biggest surprise was we got to see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens coming in the main event. But, like, in terms of standalone surprises, there was nothing.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, because, you know, Saturday night, my source told me, you're going to like tomorrow. There's some. Watch the whole card. Like, he was basically saying, there's going to be some good surprises. So maybe last minute people bailed and
Shane was great. I thought,
but I did like that.
Everyone freaked the fuck out when that money hit. Because we knew, because when Miz said, it's not happening again, we knew it was happening again. We're like, whose music is about to hit? I was hoping it was LA Knight or Bray. Shane was a nice pop, but not, I mean, the guy's been gone since Royal Rumble of last year. He did not need to be that guy. Randy Orton would have been good.
Yeah, Randy Orton has been, you know, rumors that he's ready. But that's probably tonight.
But I thought Shane, and obviously he got hurt, so nothing was going to happen. But what bump is he going to take? Like, there's going to be some crazy. Oh, hey. And maybe there was one coming that we, you know, just couldn't happen. But
nope, just running around, blew his quad. Tremendous spot.
I dropped my $22 burger when he walked out.
Oh,
and I know you're thinking, you didn't eat it, did you? Fuck yeah, I did. I picked it right back up and took a bite, man. It's $22. I don't know. We'll talk about it after the main event, but the pricing is out of control.
$85 for parking.
Yeah,
there's that.
$85. The tickets we could have got if we bought them were $150.
I mean, the burger, 22 hooves. the pineapple swirl, $9. The Pepsi was like $57 for a Pepsi and a burger. It's out of, like, what? It's insane. Now, granted, the ticket was free, but, like, I don't know how poor people go to wrestling.
It's also not in an area where you want to go for dinner before or after.
No. Oh, dude, after I'm walking to the Sizzler, which is, that's my go-to parking spot. It's a little risky, but it's you're not paying $85 to park in the back of the Sizzler. My buddy from Winnipeg is walking around. Now, for those of you not familiar with Inglewood, it's literally all Bloods and Crips around that stadium. And he's wearing a blue Dodger hat. And a Dodge, I'm like, dude, you got to take that off around here. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, go on Hood War Stories on YouTube, and the guy maps out the gang areas in the city, and he does Google Earth. And if you Google gangs, SoFi Stadium, the whole stadium is surrounded by Crips and Bloods. Like, this guy's from Winnipeg walking around with a target on his head.
That's what Eddie and I were saying at the Superstore. We bought, so the Comedy Store, we knew there was going to be a red collab shirt with the Comedy Store and WWE. We didn't know about the black one. That was a complete surprise. We said we have to get the black one because we were not going to walk through Inglewood in the red one. But they gave us some free ones. So I got one for Sophie, and I told Sophie, I was like, Sophie's our executive assistant here. She helped us with the WWE deal. I said, Sophie, just don't put it on until we're inside the arena. Yeah.
But it's, you know, people think we're kidding probably right now.
We're not kidding.
No. It's insane. You know, I was in all black, like neutral colors, except for my striped beanie, because I'm pretty sure the Bloods and Crips, like, they don't care about striped beanie.
Yeah, I always wear all black, but that's just my look. But this brings us to the main event, the Tribal Chief. The head of the table beat Cody Rhodes.
Great entrance for the Tribal Chief.
Yes, the piano symphony thing was cool. You know, I got goosebumps the entire time when that music popped in. And, you know, I had somebody like in front of me that was like, can you make up your mind? Because I was cheering for Cody and Roman. I'm like, I like them both, man. I don't know what to tell you. I wanted Cody to win. I thought Cody was going to win. I honestly had that moment of, my hands on my head when fucking Roman won and the bell rang. I was like, oh, no. Because it makes sense, you know, for WWE to do this, keep the story going and all that. But I was just really hoping for that change, that this would have been the stamp of like, hey, this is Triple H's era now. The whole Roman idea with Vince is gone. But nope. We're all a bunch of idiots, as Roman Reigns politely put in the press conference.
I laughed so hard. There's a lot of surprised faces in here. Y'all probably feel like idiots now.
Yeah. Yeah. Great match, though. Really old, you know, a lot of shenanigans, interference here and there with, you know, Solo Sikoa got kicked out. The Usos came out, and then Sami and KO came out, which the crowd lost their shit for.
They lost their shit when Solo got kicked out.
Yep.
They went nuts.
Yep. I was screaming. I mean, that was the match that I yelled the most, I think. You know, Finn Balor was my most exciting moment, but like my screaming by the end of the match, I was just losing my mind because I thought we were really going to see Cody win. But nope. The Tribal Chief continues his reign of terror. And I mean, who beats Roman Reigns at this point? My guess is that the only person that's going to beat Roman Reigns is God, with a, you know, potential return of his leukemia cancer problem. Who else? What do we got?
With good writing, anyone can do it.
No, it's going to either be, I'm convinced it's going to either be Jay or Cody.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm curious to see where this is going to go with Monday Night Raw, because right now, I don't know. I give up. Are we actually going to get the Bruno Sammartino record break of 2,000 plus days?
If there's a Monday Night Raw after tonight.
Oh, right. Yeah. So let's close the show with the last piece of
news. But I will say, I do think Cody should have won, because can you imagine the visual of the streamers coming down, the kids in the ring, the wife crying, him looking up for dust or too dusty? That would have been picked up retweets 1,000 times. So I think less people are actually talking about the main event
than they could have been.
I would argue that everybody thought Cody was going to win, so there's more people talking about it now. Angry Twitter made me so happy last night. Wrestling Twitter was fantastic. Do we want to read some of the trending topics?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. The trending topics. As soon as I was in the car trying to get out of the parking lot with John, and I'm looking at the Twitter, and it was like horrible. #horrible. #terrible. #boring. #no LA Knight was one of them.
Those were like the top one. I was so happy.
Like, look, I get it. I'm not opposed to these unhappy endings because it gets people talking and whatever. But I just feel like after the last couple of years of, you know, tumultuous life that we've had, the pandemic, the getting out of that pandemic, the whole thing with Vince and the company maybe possibly selling and Triple H taking over. Like, it was just, it's been a wild, CM Punk thing. Like, we've had a wild wrestling year or two leading up to this. We needed a good feel-good moment, and that would have been it. That moment that you mentioned would have been the best feel-good moment, and I don't know.
So here's my counter-argument. I don't think there's anybody else on the roster. Let's say Cody didn't get injured. I still think it was a work. Let's say Cody really didn't get injured. Would he have gone undefeated through Mania? Like, who would have defeated him but Roman? Because anybody else defeating Cody weakens Cody.
Yeah.
I think he lost to the guy that dominated the biggest names. John Cena, Daniel Bryan on the same night. Or Edge, Daniel Bryan the same night, John Cena. Cody had to get his first loss back from Roman. I think Cody will beat him for the title.
Hopefully. A quick shout out. A very, very powerful moment that I actually cried for was when Cody came out and he took his weight belt off, which, by the way, you can look up pictures online. He made a custom belt where the inside listed every independent wrestling company he visited when he was on his excursion on there, which was really cool. But he took off the weight belt and gave it to Brody Lee's son, who was in the front row. That was amazing. -1 was there.
That's who that was?
It was -1.
Dude. Oh, wow.
Yeah, John Huber Jr. So that was really powerful. I teared up immediately. But yeah, we'll see what happens at Monday Night Raw. And then again,
overall, it was a great event.
It was
the pricing, like Earl said, it's not, you have to be wealthy. Like, you have to be rich to go to an event there.
I mean, you got to be pals with Russell Peters.
It's wild.
$85 for parking is inexcusable. And I get that there's expenses to running a show, and it's a $1 billion arena, so it's probably pretty expensive to run a football game there or whatever. But, like, you're going to price out not just poor people, but middle-income people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't understand the people that I know that travel to WrestleMania every year. I'm like, that's so much money. What do you do for a living? Please hire me. Because what are you doing? I was thinking about it. I'm like, I think I'm good. I think with my Mania experience this weekend, it was incredible. Best day ever. I'm done.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm spending thousands of dollars to go see Mania 40.
You know? I happen to be on the East Coast in New York, like, I will take a drive to go see Mania.
Oh, sure. If it's in town.
But yeah, I would not go traveling to see it.
No.
I mean, it's just a lot.
By the way, tallied up all of our picks, and for the first time officially, because last time I won, but there were some discrepancies of like a possible tie or a pick that was miscommunicated. I have a clear-cut victory at WrestleMania total. I had 8 picks win. Earl had 7. John had 6. I am your new champion. But aside from that, news broke this morning. Thank you. News broke this morning. That's the first thing that happened when I woke up. I pulled out my phone to see what time it was, and there was a notification. WWE has been sold. So they are now part of Endeavor, the parent company of the UFC. They're going to merge the companies? Or something?
No, they're going to stay separate, but they are merged in an entertainment, like a sports entertainment company, but it's not going to be WWE UFC. It's going to be, they're going to still have their own separate shows, their own separate thing, but they're just going to be under a sports entertainment umbrella.
$21 billion collection now between the two companies.
Yeah, 9.3 evaluation for WWE.
But, like, knowing that now, instead of that idiot in the blue costume, how cool would it have been if it was John Jones, he's the heavyweight champ.
That's right what now. I'm not going to like. Keep them separate.
Yeah. But like, just like that would have been pretty cool just to kick off the, not the merger, but like the bind.
What
like,
I'm going to hate is if they start doing real UFC fights in WWE. I'm going to hate if they set up an octagon and do like a real UFC fight.
Well, I mean, they've like, done like the fight pit before with Riddle. And,
that's not real.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird call, man. I know that a lot of MMA purists are upset because now it for them, it's going to feel like UFC is rigged or scripted, kind of like WWE is. They're going to that's going to be the conversation. And then we already know a lot of wrestling fans that aren't like yourself, that aren't stoked when MMA guys come over and do stuff and take the spotlight away from pro wrestlers. So it's a very interesting move. I prefer it over the Saudi money. But
I wanted to see that. I wanted just to see the pay-per-views. That would have been
you would have had Mansoor be the fucking world champion.
Muhammad Hassan comes back.
Oh my god!
All female matches are canceled for the immediate future. But
yeah,
you know, I do think that it'll be interesting to see. You know, they're gonna have like a crossover at some point, not a match, but like
Forbidden Door.
Yeah, John Jones against Brock.
We're gonna have a UFC battle royal at the next year's Mania.
That's Shane McMahon versus what's his name?
Dana White in a slap fight.
Oh God, that's the other thing. If they involve the slap fighting thing,
well, I don't think we have to worry about slap fight coming back. It's I don't think the ratings were that good.
I think didn't someone get permanently deafened by a slap to their ear?
Yeah. Because you know, I didn't know there were really rules. I thought you could just hit them in the face, but you're not supposed to hit them above the cheek.
Nah.
So one guy hit like on his temple and it just blew out his brain.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. That was gross.
Yeah, I think if anything, it helps legitimize WWE in that you might have some crossover real matches there, which I'm not thrilled about, but it legitimizes the... I mean, that honestly, that Finn Balor thing should legitimize WWE enough. That gash in his head, but they need to stay separate enough. I don't even like that Brock Lesnar is still here.
Yeah. Well, it's a weird time for the UFC because they don't really have a lot of stars. Like, Jon Jones is probably their biggest star, and he hasn't... Well, he fought recently, but before that, he hadn't fought in 3 years because of his legal problems, and... Like, you know, when the Fertittas sold the company, they sold it at Rousey was undefeated and killing people, and then she got killed, and then, you know, Lesnar was like the big deal, and then he got killed by Alistair Overeem. McGregor was, you know, king of the world, but he was, you know, winning, and now he's lost a lot, and like his fight with Eddie Alvarez coming up, it's not really a big buzz about it because it's like, oh, you've lost a lot now.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they try and regain momentum.
I think if there is a light side to this, opposite of what John was upset about, MMA guys coming to WWE, I think I would like to see some legitimate shooters go over to UFC and have some real MMA matches. Some people that can actually fight that are WWE superstars going over there. I think that's a cool move. Because you'll get personalities. These people are way better on the mic than any of the UFC fighters that are currently there. And a lot of these people train martial arts. Kyle O'Reilly and Malachi Black are all professionally trained. Like they could go and fight someone. So I think that would be interesting to see a more WWE talent showing up at a UFC card for a legitimate fight. And it would add legitimacy to everything overall. Now, MMA guys coming over to WWE, I think that would hurt the product and make people, like I said, MMA purists think that UFC fights are rigged now. So,
I think it depends who they are. Like, you know, there are some heavyweights who have great personalities in the UFC, but they're just not the greatest fighters. Like,
you know,
Alistair Overeem, he's retired, but like he looked like a black Superman, just chiseled, and you know, and he beat Lesnar. So, I think you might see that happen. Like eventually, I think you will see an Overeem Lesnar wrestling match.
Mm, yeah,
because he kicked Lesnar so hard you heard the mics pick up Lesnar going ouch. So I could see like a crossover like that, maybe one off.
I think the bad news for a lot of people with this whole merger as well is that Vince McMahon is now a full time employee again. He is chairman of the board, executive chair of WWE. Which I'm sure is very upsetting. However, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of time left. I mean, he's 77 years old. So I guess just hang on, hang tight.
Say that. Like, if you got Biden running for president, he's 80.
No, well, yeah, but you know, Vince likes to mix, like, jump off of balconies and stuff to show the wrestlers that, you know, if he can do it, then you can do it. We'll see. I just figure it's going to be a very interesting Monday Night Raw.
That'll be great.
I want to see what they're going to announce or how they're going to announce this whole merger, how where it's going to go from here. Wrestling continues to be the craziest thing, and I'm just blessed and thankful that we got to have this incredible week of WrestleMania. I am exhausted, and I got to say, I know you said you're done. I'm not done. I want more wrestling, and that's a good thing, considering all of the wrestling I saw this weekend, the fact that I still want to see more, that's I don't know. Maybe it's just, it says more about me than the product, but I'm excited to see Monday Night Raw and see where all of this goes.
And I'm curious to see Dynamite on Wednesday night, because you know they now feel the pressure of, okay, they just had what is, in general, a pretty highly regarded WrestleMania. You know they're going to step it up. You know, Tony Khan, he knows. He's a businessman. Okay, we got to have a good one. We got to have a big, because there's a big announcement Wednesday. Who knows what that is? Yeah.
So. Well, it starts out, tonight's Raw starts with a big announcement from Triple H, so.
It's probably to announce the merger.
Yeah. I'm curious if Tony Khan's now looking at AEW and thinking, well, if Endeavor's picking up some companies, maybe we brighten some of our stars up a little this Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, who's Omega fighting? They seem to be building him in a singles push now, which I like. But
hopefully LA Knight. We got to get that guy back on TV.
Seriously, please.
I don't care where it is.
Yeah. But yeah, that'll do it for us. I'm going to go home and sleep for 25 hours, hopefully, because I haven't slept much this week. I haven't seen my wife in days.
That's the secret to a successful marriage. You never see each other.
So I'm going to go rest up and watch Raw in bed. But thank you guys for being a part of this. Thank you to WWE for everything they did for us. The belts, the shirts, the tickets, everything. Thank you to Ring of Honor and RJ City for inviting me to Supercard. Thank you to the AEW guys for coming out and supporting Hunkamania. Thank you to Sam Roberts for picking the Comedy Store to do Not Samamania.
Tyler Kaufman for the Hall of Fame.
Tyler Kaufman, the Kaufman family. We were very well taken care of. I feel like we are now at a new level. No other wrestling podcast has an official WWE belt and shirt. I don't care who you are. I don't care how awesome you thought your show was. You don't have one of these. Sorry.
Yeah, losers.
We win. No, I'm kidding. I'm just being a jerk, but it's been an incredible experience. My first Mania ever, and hopefully more to come. Please stick around. We got Dolph Ziggler.
Speaking of come, I don't think Eddie has any left.
Oh, I don't know. My pants are soaking wet.
This guy, like, at one point at Hunkamania, we're in the back of the green room of the belly room. And I got to go outside for a second. I go outside. He's on the sidewalk already. Like, I don't know how he got there. Like, there's a portal or something. Like, I got to go to the bathroom. He's in the bathroom. Like, it's like, where's Eddie? Where's Waldo? I mean, this guy may not look like he can move fast, but he's the fastest white guy I've ever seen. He's everywhere. I got to go pick up a check from Richie right now. I wouldn't be surprised if Eddie's in the manager's office already.
I won't tell you my secrets.
There's
but
three Eddies.
Yeah, I'm Dr. Manhattan. That's what it is. But that, you know, again, thank you all for everything. And please follow us at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram, at Store Is War on Twitter. Follow me at RRBG Podcast. Earl, where can they follow you?
Just at Earl Skakel everywhere. And let's take this podcast to the next level. Like, we are Cody Rhodes right now, this podcast. We will never be hotter after this week. So, and John, where can they find you?
Comedy Store Studios.
Yes, follow at Comedy Store Studios. We have a lot of great shows on the Comedy Store Network. We'll see you next week. We're going to drop that bonus episode with Dolph at some point, and this one will be going live now, pretty much, shortly. See you next week.